Good morning.
Good morning.
Please, if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn to two passages of Scripture. The first one is Psalm 119. We shall read verses 9 to 16. Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The second one is 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16 to 17. Very familiar passages. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. May God bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit himself will open our hearts to your word and help us, Lord, to apply what you teach us to our day-to-day lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure we have all heard of someone called Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci was born in 1452 in Italy, and he died in 1519 in France. I think if you are to call anyone a genius, he certainly was one. And his achievements spanned many, many areas of human endeavor. For example, he was variously described as an inventor, an engineer, an architect, a scientist, and a painter. And his famous paintings include, for example, the Mona Lisa, which Jane and I had the privilege of seeing in Louvre, the Louvre Museum in Paris. And of course, The Last Supper, which was actually painted on the wall of Santa Maria del Grazie convent in Milan. But Leonardo da Vinci also has the honor of being the author of Codex Leicester, or Leicester, Codex Leicester, which is the most expensive book in the world. This 72-page notebook is perhaps the most famous of Da Vinci's scientific journals. In 1717, the manuscript was purchased for the first time by Thomas Cook, who later became Earl of Leicester, and that is why it's called Codex Leicester. And who was the buyer? In 1994, the buyer of this important manuscript is none other than the richest man at that time in the world, Bill Gates himself. And what he did was he copied pages of it and put it on his Windows 95. So if you go to Windows 95, you see that it came up again and again when the screen was off. He paid 29 million euros for this particular document. Now, although Codex Leicester is the world's most expensive book, I hope you will agree with me that the most important book ever written is the Bible. You cannot put any value in terms of money on it. It is by far the most significant, the most important book ever written. And this particular point is also illustrated by some comments from well-known people down the history. President Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of the United States, made the following comments about the Bible. Of the many influences that have shaped the United States into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. Then the 19th century writer, French writer, Victor Hugo, said, England has two books. England has just two books. I'm sure you can guess them. The Bible and Shakespeare. England made Shakespeare, but the Bible made England. Those were profound words. Then D.L. Moody, a well-known 19th century American evangelist, he said, the Bible was not given for our information, but for our transformation. So if the Bible has not transformed your life, something is missing. And lastly, I would like to quote from Mahatma Gandhi. I was very surprised by what he said. But it is very instructive what Gandhi said about the Bible. He said, you Christians look after a document containing enough dynamite to blow all civilization to pieces, turn the world upside down, and bring peace to a battle-torn planet. But you treat it as though it is nothing more than a piece of literature. That's quite interesting. This is Gandhi, not a Christian. We have something in our hands that could bring peace to the planet. And yet, he said, we are treating it as if it is just a piece of literature. I hope you and I are not doing that. We treat it as the precious, precious Word of God. Bear in mind these introductory remarks. I would like to speak on the topic, God's special book. God's special book. And I focus on 3 points. The Bible is a unique book. Secondly, the Bible is essential for our pilgrim journey. And thirdly, are you reading the Bible daily? To me, that is the crux of the matter. And that is a question I would like each one of us to answer. Are you reading the Bible daily? Let's look at the first point. The Bible is a unique book. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, we read it, but I would like to remind you, we read the following words. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. But also in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, we read the following. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These verses tell us very clearly that the Bible was inspired by God, and specifically by God the Holy Spirit. Although human beings wrote down the words of the Bible, every word was guided by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is reliable and completely true. We can build our lives on the word that we find in the Bible, because those words were guided by the Holy Spirit. You may wonder how the apostles were able to remember those words of Jesus quoted in the four Gospels. Some of us have Bibles with what they call red letter edition, where the words of Jesus are in red. I used to wonder, how did they know that? They didn't have tape recorders. They didn't have mobile phones. Nothing to record those words of Jesus. And yet they are quoted. They were quoted as words of Jesus. How can we believe that? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ himself gave the answer in advance. And this is what he said. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." We can therefore be confident that those words attributed to Jesus in the Bible were not just imagination of, or figment of imagination of the writer, but they were true words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, when we examine some basic statistics about the Bible, we will conclude that it is only God who could put together this kind of book. Only God. The book was written over a period of 1,600 years, between roughly 1500 BC and 100 AD, by about 40 people located in three different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. And the authors included kings, prophets, farmers, musicians, fishermen, a tent maker, a doctor, a tax collector, etc., etc. Despite this diversity, the Bible is consistent and has one main focus: Jesus Christ and the wonderful salvation that is available through him. Now, during my third year in secondary school, this was 1962, to be precise, 1962, one of the subjects we had to cope with was English literature. Quite exciting. And one of the books we studied was called A Midsummer Night's Dream by William Shakespeare. And for someone who lived in Nigeria, some of the characters in the book were a bit strange to me. And to be honest, if it were possible, we would have appreciated William Shakespeare coming to our classroom to explain some of those things to us and give us some insight into A Midsummer Night's Dream. But alas, that was not possible, because you know and I know William Shakespeare was lying in his grave in Stratford-upon-Avon. And in that time, in faraway England to me. But you know, one special thing about the Bible is that when we are reading it, the author is right there with us. The Holy Spirit is there. I can ask him questions. He can illumine my understanding. He can open my heart to the Word of God. He can help me to understand the deep things that God wanted to impart on me. And He's always there. He has always been there. He is there today, and He will be there forever. Therefore, the Bible is something really, really unique. It's a book that is special. And when we read it, we can be sure that we have help to understand it. The Holy Spirit, the author himself, is there with us. May God help us to listen closely to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us whenever we read this unique book. Okay, let's look at the second point. The Bible is essential on our pilgrim journey. The life of a Christian here on earth is sometimes described as a pilgrim journey with our ultimate destination, heaven. Thank God that we are not left helpless on this important journey. God knew all the things that could possibly go wrong on the journey, and He has put in the Bible some encouraging words and instructions we need to follow in order to make good progress on this journey. I just selected a few verses of scripture to illustrate this, because God thought of us in advance. He knew your situation in advance. He knew everything about you in advance. And He has placed in the Bible something somewhere that could be of help to you. I just, as I said, selected a few. There are many, but just a few. So I ask you this morning, have you let the Lord down on this journey? If so, remember 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The slate can be wiped clean every time on this journey. Come to Jesus, tell Him, confess it, accept His forgiveness, and move on. Are you properly dressed on this journey? You know, it's important to be properly dressed for a journey. Well, remember Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One of the things that I'm sure you and I have faced on this journey and will continue to face on this journey is temptation. Are you facing temptations today on this journey? If so, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God always provides an exit door to every temptation that you come across. But are you willing to take the exit door? If there is fire here, God forbid, I think we'll all look for the exit door. But if there is fire and you refuse to take the exit door, of course, you face the consequences. When we are tempted, God will show us the way out. But we need to respond. We need to take that way out. Are you discouraged on this journey? Or is the journey becoming too difficult for you? I'm going through a difficult time myself in some aspects of my life. But I know that I have help from the Word of God. I know that. And I'm enjoying that help that I'm receiving from God. So I'll read a few verses for you to reflect on, because God cares for you and I. John 16:33. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We know the person who created this world. We know the person who has overcome the world. Therefore, we are in good company. He has overcome the world. So we have problems, yes, but he said he has overcome the world and we should be of good cheer. Have you been in the valley for too long? Remember Psalm 23 verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me." Can you declare that today? I don't know how long I will be in the valley. I don't know how long you'll be in the valley. But one thing is sure, we are not alone in the valley. "For thou art with me." And Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Remember that phrase, wherever you go. You can't lose. Do you go to Bolton? He's there. Do you go to Bromley? He is there. Do you go to Benfica? He is there. Do you go to Boston? He is there. Anywhere on this planet Earth, he is there. And he has promised he will be there with you, whatever you are facing. Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." A watered garden. I'm not a gardener, but I admire people's gardens. It's nice to look at. You can see life there. You can see health there. But God is telling us that he will satisfy our soul in drought. When things are tough, when hope seems gone, he said he will satisfy our soul in drought. Then there is this very important verse in Isaiah 49:15. When I read this many years ago, I must say it was quite comforting to me in a very, very special way. It's a very rare verse, Isaiah 49:11. But you and I, because we belong to Jesus, we can claim it today. Isaiah 49:11 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." It's most unlikely that the mom will forget the child. But God is saying, even if that happens, I will not forget you. So whatever you are going through today, let that ring in your heart. God said, God says, and will continue to say, I will not forget you. It's not a human being, because sometimes somebody might say, I'll remember you. And when it comes to the real time, when you need them, they are not there for you. But this is God saying, I will not forget you. You can take his word to the bank, or you can bank it, as they say in English. You can bank his word. It's reliable, totally reliable. He's telling you today, whatever you are facing, I will not forget you. And the last set of verses I want to refer to was read to us here, I think it was a week or two ago, by Pastor Ian. And I think that is very important, because whatever you are facing, we should remember that We are on the victory side. We are on the victory side. The enemy cannot win. It's impossible for the enemy to win. The enemy might win a battle, but we will win the war. Because Christ has won already. He has done it already. So this is the encouraging three verses that I wanted to mention. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's fantastic. Let's use it. Let's use it to encourage us when we are going through difficult times. Because God said, you are more than conquerors. You are more than conquerors. It's enough to say I'm a conqueror. But say, you are more than conquerors. But it is through Jesus. It is through Jesus. And furthermore, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 to 7, if you want to grow into mature Christian men and women, we must take seriously the word of God. The Bible is vital for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us in righteousness so that we will be properly equipped to do all the good things that God has called us to do. Now, during my career in the oil and gas industry, I spent a substantial amount of time in training. For example, when I finished in Manchester University in 1972, I spent about 3 months in the Shell Training Center in a place called Wassenaar, very near The Hague in the Netherlands. Nice training center. The woods is right inside the woods, and during lunch break you can just take a stroll, relax, have very nice lunch, but also relax and then go back and soak in the course. It really, really nice. 3 months. But when I returned to Nigeria after the course, I was sent straight to the drilling rig. Different environment, harsh environment. I was sent there. Why? To go and apply those things I learned in the comfort of the training center. And I think, in a similar way, reading the Bible is not enough. We can read it, it's very good, very important, but you have to go out there into the world to apply it. You have to apply it in the harsh realities of our day-to-day lives. And I think the writer of Psalm 119 was conscious of this fact when he was commenting on how to live a holy life. In Psalm 119, verse 9, we read, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word." The psalmist was also very happy to follow God's law, as indicated again in Psalm 119, verses 14 and 16. He said, "I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches, and I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." Brothers and sisters in Christ, are you keeping your way pure? Are you really happy to do the will of God? Those are questions that we need to answer. Another important thing about our pilgrim journey is that we need guidance. And in Psalm 119, verse 105, we read the following: "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Now, some of us who live in the UK, I think you may not really properly appreciate this particular verse as I do. When I was growing up in the village, in the 60s, in the 50s, well, I can remember early 50s, but in the 50s and 60s, we had no electricity in my hometown. No electricity anywhere. We were not connected to any grid. It just wasn't available. And a lamp was crucial to the life in the village. We had these kerosene lanterns. I don't know if you have them in the UK, but you need to buy kerosene to put into it, and you light it, and there you are. You can carry it in many places. So for us to move from one place to another in the town or village at night, we needed this lamp. And as I walked down the path, this lamp actually would help me to see where I was going. Without it, I would not venture out in the night in those days. And that is what this is saying. Without the lamp, the word of God, we might not know, or in fact, we cannot know where we are going. So it is very important, if we want to be guided by God, if you want to face the problems of this world successfully, if you want to navigate our way through all the issues of life, we need the word of God. It is a lamp, a vital lamp to our feet, and also helps us to see the path ahead of us. The other thing that I'm looking at the time, so please be patient with me. The psalmist also made a very important point in Psalm 119 verse 11. He said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Part of the strategy of not falling into sin is to memorize God's word. And I wonder this morning if I should ask you to recite all the Bible verses you know. I wonder how long we would be waiting here. Are we going to wait for 1 hour while you recite? Or you run out of verses in a matter of minutes? I'm not saying I want more than just Genesis 1:1 and John 3:16. I want more than that. Brothers and sisters, if I ask myself the same questions, the honest answer is that I don't think I have very many verses of scripture that I can just read from memory. I have read a lot of the scriptures, but how many of the verses have I actually memorized? Now, we need to learn from our Lord Jesus Christ. While he was tempted in the wilderness, Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11, the devil started by quoting verses of scripture and, of course, twisted the meaning as well. But our Lord Jesus Christ responded promptly with Bible verses. Promptly. That's important. He did not tell the devil, "Let me go to the synagogue to get the parchment or scroll from which to read the verse." No, he didn't. The words came out like this from our Lord Jesus Christ. He was drawing his sword immediately to attack the devil. Brothers and sisters, we need to put more words of Jesus, more words of God into our hearts. We need to memorize Bible verses. I want to do more of that this year. Definitely. I have quite a long list of what I call special verses that God has used to speak to me. I've copied them, but I want to put them in my mind as well. And I challenge you to do the same this year. Let's put more Bible verses into our hearts. And I now go to the last point. Are you reading the Bible daily? Now, there's a program called Desert Island Discs. Desert Island Discs. It's a radio program broadcast on BBC Radio 4. And it was first broadcast on BBC Forces program on 29th January 1942. So it's been going on for a very long time. Now, each week, a guest who is called a cast away during the program is asked to choose 8 recordings, usually but not always music, but is asked to choose a book and a luxury item that they would take if they were to be cast away on a desert island. And then they use that opportunity to discuss their lives. Now, obviously, I have never been asked by BBC to take part on this BBC 4 Desert Island program. I've never been asked. But if they ask me to appear on that program and they ask me for a book I will take with me, I can tell you without hesitation, it is the Bible. How can I survive on a desert island somewhere, a remote place, without that important connection to my God? Of course, I can pray to God. God will hear me, yes. But there is treasure in His word that I need to hear when I'm alone on that desert island. I will take the Bible with me for sure. I wonder what your choice will be. Which book will you take with you? It's left to you to answer. I think I know what you would think, but I cannot be 100% sure. But I believe that you and I will make sure the Bible is with us. Now, a survey conducted by Christianity Today magazine reveals some very disturbing statistics about those they described as churchgoers, i.e. those who are born again and those who are not yet born again but who go to church. So it's the whole group. People walking through doors of a church, they did this survey. But the results are very disturbing. Listen to the results. Only 19% of churchgoers personally read the Bible every day. 19, not 90, 19% personally read the Bible every day. 18% rarely or never read the Bible personally. 25% read the Bible a few times a week. 14% read the Bible once a week, and 22% read the Bible once a month or a few times a month. Well, although we don't know how many of these people actually are born again, I think the overall impression is that very few Christians actually read the Bible every day. My question is, in what category would you have been if they asked you this question? Will you be among the 19% or will you be among the 22% who read the Bible once a month or a few times a month? Are you reading the Bible daily? Are you meditating on the Bible daily? The Bible passage we read, Psalm 119 verse 15, the psalmist wrote, "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways." And in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, we read, Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We need to read the Bible daily, meditate on it, and apply what we read to our lives. I'm getting to a close in case you are watching the time. Now, apart from reading the Bible daily on an individual basis, if your family is with you, I encourage you to additionally read the Bible with your spouse and children every day. I'll give you our own example. We have six children. And when they were all living with us, our daily routine in the evening was to sit down with them. We would sing some choruses. I had a guitar at that time. I still have one, incidentally. We'll play the guitar, we'll sing the choruses, we'll read the Bible. One of us would explain it, we'll listen to questions, and then we'll take prayer requests and we'll close. That was our daily routine. Then with time, the children left us one by one, one by one, one by one, until that day in 2006 when the last one left. Since that time, it's just my beautiful wife and myself. And we still keep that tradition. The two of us, practically every evening, if we don't do it, something, there must be a very special reason, but practically every evening, the two of us will sit down together, we'll read the Bible, and we'll pray together. In addition to that, I do my own personal quiet time with the Lord. She does her own as well. It's very important that we immerse ourselves in Scripture. Very, very important. Then in 1998, I took up a challenge. 1998. I decided that I will read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I did not give myself or fix a time frame to do it. I thought it was going to be a few months. But it took me 3 years. 3 years of reading. But one of the reasons why it took 3 years was that I made sure I wrote down what God was teaching me on every passage of Scripture that I read. So I have a lot of notebooks, a lot, writing down what God taught me as I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It was quite an eye-opener for me. Now I can see what a treasure it is. The word treasure has been mentioned. What a treasure is there for us. And you come through all kinds of issues. They are there. The good, the bad, the ugly. It's all there. But the love of God through Jesus shines right through. And so I would like to throw that challenge to you. If you have never done it, or if you've done it before and you want to do it again, why not read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? It will not take you 3 years. But even if it takes 5 years or 5 months, it is worth doing it. Because it's the precious word of God. He has a message for you and me today. But let's start from the small part. Let's do it. Develop the habit. Make it a daily thing. Daily, daily routine. And I pray that God will bless you as you read the word and meditate on it. In conclusion, we consider the topic God's special book, and we focused on 3 points. The Bible is a unique book. The real author of the Bible is God the Holy Spirit, and the central focus of this amazing book is Jesus Christ and the salvation that is offered to mankind through him. Secondly, the Bible is essential for on our pilgrim journey. It contains words of encouragement and instructions on what to do to make good progress during this spiritual journey. We need to read it, memorize it, and apply it to our lives. And thirdly, are you reading the Bible daily? Are you willing to take the challenge of reading the Bible from beginning to end? But even if you don't do that, form the habit of reading the Bible daily. John 3:16 is at the heart of the message of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This verse contains an encouragement as well as an important warning. God loves us greatly, but our eternal destiny depends on the choice we make concerning Jesus Christ while we are here on earth. Have you chosen Jesus? Have you come to him? Is he your Lord and Savior? Secondly, if you already know him, if you already accepted him as Lord and Savior, is there any area of your life that you need to bring to him? Is there any area of your life where you are not really obeying him? If so, the Lord is telling you, confess it and repent. He's there. He will forgive and forgive completely. Absolutely. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our sins from us. What a loving God. What a great God. It is my prayer that God would interpret these words into our hearts. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this precious, precious book, the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the way you have used it to help us on this journey. We pray, Lord, that you help us to read it more, to memorize it more, but to apply it to our day-to-day lives. Lord, for those who are discouraged today, I pray that they will find encouragement from your word. Lord, for those who have let you down in whatever way, I pray, Lord, that you help them to come to you and repent and move on. Oh, Lord God, and for those who don't know you, we pray that their eyes will be open to know this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Bless each one of us, Lord, and help us to be your ambassadors in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.